Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, I'm really glad you've decided to join us. No secret that Detroit is home to the single busiest international land border crossing in North America. But going on 4 days now, that key artery for U.S.-Canada trade and travel has been blocked. Windsor officials said yesterday that about 50 to 75 vehicles and about 100 protesters are lining that city's entrance to the Ambassador Bridge. And these protesters are angry about pandemic mandates in Canada. Yesterday, Ford announced that these protests have forced the company to shut down its Windsor engine plant. Imagine the economic impact of that. Imagine the job impact of that. This is a really, really serious consequence. This so-called Freedom Convoy is also clogging the streets in Ottawa, causing a state of emergency in the Canadian capital. And there are also concerns mounting that as tensions rise around all of this, this could all lead to some violence. Here to talk with us about the protests, the disruptions they are causing, and how officials are trying to address the situation is the mayor of the city right across the Detroit River, Windsor, Drew Dilkins. Drew, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah. So remind our audience what these protests are about. This is about mandates in Canada, which look a little different, I think, than they do here in the United States. Why are people upset and blocking the Ambassador Bridge from your side of the river?
Well, this started several weeks ago, and it has morphed greatly since that time. And so the original trucker convoy started as a result of a certain group of truckers being dissatisfied with our federal government, who implemented a mandatory vaccine requirement for those truckers returning to Canada, meaning they had to prove that they were vaccinated to come back home. And that was a group that said, you know what, we don't like it. The message was clear, and they were protesting. That narrative has been entirely lost now. So there is still a subset of people who are just upset with mask mandates, vaccine mandates, rules and restrictions related to the pandemic. But this has morphed into a whole other type event. And I would say it's analogous to what you would see when the G7 or the G20 meet, where you have people who are just angry with government in general, who are now gathering and willing to fight and to protest. And half of them aren't even really sure why they're there.
Hmm. And give us a sense of what the disruption of this looks like on your side of the border, just the logistical disruption, but also the economic one.
Yeah, so I, you know, there are people on the ground here in terms of the protesters who have outwardly stated that this is a cause they're willing to die for. And so that is why the response hasn't been immediate, because police don't want to go in. I mean, there's no need for people to get hurt or die over this particular set of issues that aren't well defined. And so police are taking a measured approach, trying to find a sensible way forward. But in many ways, you can't have a rational conversation when you're not dealing with rational actors. And that is really the issue confronting police today. But the issue is an important one. It's an important one for Detroit. It's an important one for Windsor. This border crossing, this single border crossing, handles about 8,000 to 10,000 trucks a day. Mm-hmm. The value of trade that crosses that bridge is about $400 million a day. And so as the mayor of the auto capital of Canada, I can tell you, and everyone in Detroit would know this as well, that our supply chains are so tightly integrated on either side of the border that whether it's a minivan that rolls off the assembly line at Stellantis in Windsor or a Ford car that rolls off the assembly line in Dearborn, the parts that go into those vehicles before they leave the plant have crossed the border on average six times before they are rolling off the assembly line. Hmm. And that speaks to the integrated nature of the auto sector. Now, at the same time, the auto industry in general deals with just-in-time delivery, meaning when they need the parts are delivered just in time by the suppliers, and they're not stored in any great quantities on site at the plants. And so when you have a disruption at the border, that has an immediate and a material impact on operations on either side of the border.
So Give us a sense of the mood in Canada generally, I guess, about COVID restrictions. Are these truckers part of a silent majority, perhaps, of people in Canada who think the government has gone too far? Or are they outliers who don't really represent much of the population there?
Without question, without even having to think about that answer, they are absolutely a fringe group of outliers. They are not part of the majority of Canadians who have done their part. We've had huge uptake on COVID vaccines. We've had huge respect for the restrictions that we found ourselves in from time to time. And the vast majority of Canadians are angry at this protest. They want to see these people punished. They want to see police go in and flush them out and do whatever they have to do to restore law and order in this country. They do not represent the majority of Canadians. So I would say, you know, they may represent 10% of the population. And that may be giving, you know, a little more weight than required. But I would say 10% of the population is what this protest is all about. The other 90% have done what's been asked of them. Even if it has been somewhat begrudgingly, there are people who have gotten a vaccination from COVID as a result of employer mandates. And they've done that. They may not have wanted to, but they recognize the sensibility of doing their part in the middle of a global pandemic, the likes of which none of us have ever experienced in our lives. And so we all want, you know, Canada is all about, you know, you're about law and justice. We're about peace, order, and good government on our side of the border. And I would tell you the vast majority of Canadians want to see this end and end immediately.
I'm talking with Windsor Mayor Drew Dilkins about the trucker protests and blockade of the Ambassador Bridge on the Canada side of the Ambassador Bridge. It's a blockade that's gone on for 4 days now and is beginning to have a significant economic impact. Ford has announced that it is going to shut down its Windsor engine plant because it cannot get the things that it needs across the border to keep it going. I would imagine that we will also see a number of other particularly auto-related disruptions because of this. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. Give us a call and tell us what you make of these large protests in Canada over vaccine mandates. What do you think of the way that these protesters are expressing their grievances? Do you think it's okay to block access to North America's busiest border crossing to make your point? Also, give us a sense of what you think the authorities in Canada ought to be doing about this. Should they be clearing the way for truck traffic and other traffic to continue across the Ambassador Bridge, or should they be patient and allow this kind of expression, which it is a political expression, to take place without the fear of police intervention? A little later in the program, we are going to have a much broader conversation about this kind of action, this kind of protest, and the place it occupies in the along the spectrum of reasonable discourse in our country. It's something we talk about an awful lot, and if you think back to just a few years ago, the Black Lives Matter protests, those disruptions, how were they met by authorities? What was your opinion of those disruptions? How would you compare that, for instance, to what these truckers are doing? Do you think that we tend to think of things really differently depending on the color of the skin of the protesters who are involved? We're going to talk about all of those issues in a little bit. But right now, we do want to hear what you have to say about what's going on the other side of the border. Drew, before we get to our callers, I want to ask you about patience and time. How long before you have to do something to clear the border? How long are you willing to wait, for instance, before you would instruct the police there in Windsor to make sure that these truckers get out of the way?
Well, I would have wanted this ended within the first couple hours of it starting. Unfortunately, I don't have that authority. And even though I chair the police services board here in Windsor, there is a bright line in legislation at all three levels of government in Canada that politicians cannot direct police operations. And so the mayor, the chair of the board itself cannot direct police operation. That is the responsibility of the chief and the administration of the police service. Obviously, we are responsible for making sure that they have the resources that they need and that they are providing, safe and effective policing to the community.
So it's a call that the police chief would make then.
Yeah, which is very frustrating because people think, hey, you're the mayor, make something happen. And the reality is, besides dialogue and discourse with the police administration, which we're having every 15 minutes, at the end of the day, it is their operational call of how to act, when to act, and what to do. It is a bit frustrating in that way, but it is the law, and I know the law, and I respect the law that we have here. But at the same time, I'm the one getting thousands of emails and phone calls from people in my community who are saying, why aren't you acting? Why aren't you doing something? You got to move these people out. And I appreciate the sentiment that the folks in my community are sharing in that regard, because I feel the same way. And we all want to see this end. And the reality is, what the protesters are asking for, it varies so widely that it is effectively a leaderless group. And it's unclear what, even if they got something, what that something would be that would make them go away.
So to be clear, if you had the authority, by now you would have cleared the border.
Yeah. It's not a criticism of the chief. I see what's going on here, and I see very clearly that there's no resolution that is going to make all of these protesters happy. So it is okay to protest. The hallmark of both of our democracies in the United States and Canada is freedom to express yourself, freedom to protest and demonstrate. All of that is okay. What's not okay is to use your protest and expressing yourselves by blocking down and choking off the economy in both countries. That is not okay. And that goes above and beyond what your constitution and our constitution would provide with respect to peaceful demonstration.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. We've got a lot of folks queued up to talk about this blockade already. Let's start with Jennifer in Windsor. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi. Go ahead.
I don't really have a question. I just have a point. I know, like, Canadians as well as everyone else in the world are super exhausted with everything that's been going on for the last few years, and now we're seeing places like Detroit and the rest of the U.S. open up completely without these restrictions, and now these protests have started, and just yesterday other provinces have opened up and cleared their restrictions entirely. So I'm wondering, is that going to be the outcome? Is that the desired outcome, is to get everything lifted, or should we be coming in and like dropping the hammer on the protesters when things are already moving that direction, it seems?
So Jennifer, what would you prefer? Do you think that waiting to see what happens with restrictions is the right way, or would you like to see police in Windsor move in and clear the border?
You know what? I don't want to see police move in and clear the border. I think that would definitely instill lots of unnecessary violence when like provinces seem to be responding to these protesters. So what's going on with Ontario?
Yeah. Yeah. Jennifer, great question, and appreciate the call, especially since you are in Windsor and experiencing this from that side of the border. Mayor Dilkins, I wonder what your reaction is to what Jennifer's saying.
Yeah, I appreciate her call. And we do see a couple of provinces who've moved to either remove or diminish the amount of restriction that they put in place with respect to COVID. And I imagine you'll see that happen probably fairly short order across the country. You'll start seeing a lessening of restrictions in many different provinces. The reality here is, and we didn't talk about this yet, that if police were to move in, what's going to happen is you're going to end up in a situation where you could have violence, which is a bad thing. We don't want to see that happen. The other situation is, if we were to flush out 150 protesters that are here today in their cars, in 2 days from now, does that bring 300 more back, as the rallying cry of let's go to Windsor and support what's going on in Windsor? And so either of those things is suboptimal. We don't want to see that happen. And we're trying to find, a way forward. But it's also worth noting that this protest started as a result of truckers not wanting to have that vaccine requirement in place at our federal level when they returned to Canada. And that was the key message to begin with. And a week later, the United States implemented the exact same measure. And for 90 days, they had told the whole world that that's what's going to happen. So even if Justin Trudeau removed the restriction, the primary complaint that the truckers had that started the protest, they still can't cross the border into the United States because you have the restriction in place now, too. And so it's a complex situation. It's a complex human situation. It's a complex on the ground situation. And, you know, everyone wants a resolution. And so do I. And sooner rather than later.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Dan in Ferndale. Dan, what's on your mind?
Hey there. Thanks for the call, having the call. I was curious if there's any international legal means that can be used to either, one, convince the chief to act, or two, to get back any of the lost money that is going on. I mean, the supply chain itself is under such duress. And the truckers, well, their rights are there, but now it's international. Now they're affecting the United States. So are there any legal means that can be utilized? Thank you.
Great question, Dan. What's the answer, Mayor Dilkins?
Well, I although I'm a lawyer, I'm not sure I have a good answer for him. I'm not sure if there's some tort available legally, some remedy that you could go after. But, you know, just it's an interesting point. I appreciate the sentiment that Dan shared there. The irony is, if you had 200, 150, 200 protesters on the ground here, you know, we're talking about the loss of trade and the amount of $400 million per day. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that anyone could ever materially cover even a fraction of that amount from the people who are here, even if you were successful in some lawsuit. But it's an interesting point, and certainly, you know, if folks had the prospect of losing everything by holding out their protest, that probably would have many people make a smart decision, hopefully.
Yeah. Dan, appreciate the call and the question. Let's go to another caller from Windsor, Denise. Denise, welcome to the show.
Hi. As I was saying, I'm an American living in Windsor, and I think it's a bit hypocritical because they have, like, barbecue set up and all these things that Indigenous or Black people would have, and it would have been shut down. I feel like 10 cities have been shut down for less, and I just think it's very hypocritical.
So, in other words, you feel like if this was a different group of people, that this would not have been tolerated even for the 40s.
Yeah. Because they're white men, and, you know, they're driving around with swastikas or S. Trudeau. It's just basically Trumpers trying to get their voice. They're like white man babies. Mm.
Mayor Dilkins, we've got a number of people who've either on social media and are in the queue to be on the phones talking about the fact that this is a group of, if not all, certainly mostly white men, and that the response seems different than it would be if this were a group of African Americans, if this were a group of native citizens there in Canada, which I know is a large population in that country as well. Talk about that dynamic, and I guess how you navigate that politically in the seat that you're in.
I don't ascribe to that comment. So I certainly don't think that the response would be any different regardless of who's here. I think what you've seen in police responses across the province and around the country with respect to Indigenous blockades or Indigenous protests are also the same response, a very measured response where there's a perimeter blocked and negotiations that are ongoing. And it's effectively the same type of response that you see in place here. And so I don't think it has anything to do with the color of the skin, the sex, the sexual orientation, the race, color, creed, any of that stuff. This is about lawless, illegal behavior. And regardless of who is undertaking that behavior, I think the response would be measured and be the same.
So, you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and obviously I don't know as much about what goes on in Canada as goes on in this country. I do have a hard time believing, though, that, for instance, if a group of African Americans blocked the Ambassador Bridge from this side of the border, that would be tolerated, or that, you know, 4 days would pass without the police and engaging. I mean, there is a racial dynamic to this whole thing that, I mean, it doesn't have to do with the protest. It has to do with, you know, the racial inequities that exist in our country. Are you saying that those don't exist, that there isn't a double standard in Canada that would look the way it does here in the United States?
Well, okay, I can't really, I mean, this conversation's leading down a road about racial inequality. Mm-hmm. I thought we're here to talk about the protest. I mean, this has nothing to do with it. I don't know how you would handle it on your side. And I, you know, there are Sikhs who are part of this protest. There is all sorts of different race, colors, and creeds that are part of this. So it really has no bearing or impact on the response. At the end of the day, it is illegal behavior by human beings on the ground here, and the response would be the same regardless of the color of your skin or who you pray to.
Okay. Let's go finally to Sean in Windsor. Sean, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Well, I just on the last comment, I would disagree. I think if this were an environmental protest or anything like that, I think it would be shut down immediately. I think the mayor would, if it was affecting the economy, he would probably call, put pressure on the police chief, and it would be shut down. But that's not the reason for my call. I think the Prime Minister Trudeau has made it clear that he's waiting in the sidelines for people to ask for his help. Our Premier Ford, which we refer to as Ford Nation, has not asked for help. This is his province. And our mayor has not, in my knowledge, put pressure on Ford Nation to come to Windsor to say, listen, we need help. We need you to ask the Prime Minister to help us. And, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows. And, you know, in that group of people protesting, there's a really nasty element, you know. And and I think it's a hot potato. The Prime Minister doesn't want to go in and shut it down. Premier doesn't want to go in and shut it down because a certain segment is tied to his base.
Yeah,
that's very unsavory. There's a lot of FU Trudeau.
Yeah,
a lot
I've
of very toxic
of that.
Stuff. And I just want to know, why is the mayor not publicly asking our premier to ask the federal government for help and shut it down?
Sean, I don't want to cut you off, but we're going to run out of time in the segment, and I do want to get the mayor to answer that question.
Yeah. I mean, Sean, you know, if you followed the news yesterday, letters were sent to both the provincial and federal government asking for additional police resources on the ground. I spoke with the premier twice yesterday and the solicitor general, and the response was almost immediate. We have a number of OPP officers and specialized teams that once we put the official request in yesterday, the premier responded immediately, and those folks are starting to trickle in from across the province of Ontario. I continue to be in conversation. I probably had 5 or 6 phone calls with Marco Mendicino, who's the Minister of Public Safety for Canada. In fact, he just rang right now while we're on this show, and I will be calling him back. So there's great lines of communication. The requests have been made. The province has responded, and we continue to try and get the federal government involved to help resolve this truly national crisis.
Okay. Drew Dilkins, Mayor of the City of Windsor, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us here on Detroit Today.
Thanks very much. Have a great day.
When we come back, we are going to continue talking about the ways in which people choose to express political dissent and what constitutes, quote, legitimate political discourse. Do you think this truck driver protest in Canada falls into the category of legitimate political discourse? The GOP recently released an official statement saying the January 6th insurrection last year is legitimate political discourse. We're going to talk about all of that with Timothy Schaefer, one of the nation's leading experts on the subject, and we want to continue to hear from you, our listeners, both on the phones, 313-577-1019, and on social media, Facebook or Twitter. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.